There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The DIFC has introduced a new property leasing law, and we're asking what it means for its landlords and tenants. Very pleased to be joined in the studio by the lawyer Shahram Safai. He's a partner at Afridi and Angle Legal Consultants. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Why did the DIFC need a new property law in the first place? Where did they need clarity?
There were two primary purposes. One, the Dubai law itself, which didn't include DIFC, was quite comprehensive. And so I think DIFC wanted to align its practices with the Dubai practices onshore. And so that's part of the reason. The second reason was that if you look at the old law, which was passed in the early 2000s, it was only about four pages. And it really had talked about what the DIFC registrar could do as opposed to what the parties could do. So it was very laissez-faire, and parties could do, you know, as much as they wanted, etc. And now I think this law, which is about 20 pages, much more detailed, gives further protections to tenants and landlords.
And a lot of people will be thinking DIFC, they'll be thinking banks, they might be thinking posh tailors. But am I right in thinking this is primarily residential?
It's true, exactly. I think the changes are primarily geared towards residential tenancies. Of course, there are general changes that have been done that protect for all leases. For example, that all leases must be in writing, they must have a term, they should specify the premises, etc. But really, most of the protections, is a good word, are geared towards residential tenancies.
Well, let's look in depth at a couple of areas that are making headlines. One is the deposit scheme that they have introduced here. Tell me about that.
Yeah, very interesting. And the deposit scheme is there to protect tenants. It says that you can charge a deposit. That deposit must be a maximum of 10% of the rent. So they've capped that security deposit. The other major change is that security deposit must be paid into an escrow account, which is administered by the DIFC, by the registrar. And so that's protective of the tenant for sure, and also for the landlord. It takes that issue out of the hands of the landlord.
And those deposits have also been capped?
Yes, at 10% of the total rent for the year.
What about termination? We've got some clearer rules, haven't we, around terminating leases?
Correct. So terminations, you're free to agree how to terminate pursuant to terms of the lease. But now terminations can occur explicitly, as in the law. If, for example, a tenant doesn't pay the rent within 30 days, that application can be made to court and termination. Or if the tenant breaches a term of the lease. Vice versa, also with the landlord. If the landlord breaches the term of the lease, then terminations can be applied for. The court now, the DIFC court, has been brought into the center where disputes can be referred there and expressly referred to in the new leasing law.
How much of an advantage is that for people who are renting property in the DIFC? The ability to be able to use not just the framework, but that court?
Well, it adds stability and predictability. And I think the focus of this law primarily is to introduce more transparency and predictability to how tenancies work. That in turn means that people will be more comfortable renting in the DIFC. And so as we look towards Expo 2020 and all these wonderful changes that have been made, then you'll see DIFC tenancies flourishing. And so it is important to give further predictability and further transparency on paper to tenants and landlords, and then translate that to say, well, that transparency will be given to you by the courts and they're accessible to you. So that's really the message that's coming across.
It would have to be something quite big, surely, though, to take your landlord to court. I mean, you're not going to drag them into court because they haven't fixed your blinds.
Of course. I mean, we're talking about the, 5% of cases. And 95%, people are reasonable. And so landlords and tenants will get along. They'll sign a condition report at the beginning of the tenancy, maybe take some photographs showing the condition of the apartment. And then upon ending of the lease, then they'll compare and set something off and agree together. And that should really be 95% of the cases, as it is in most developed jurisdictions. But of course, it's the 5% where there may be a dispute.
How much flexibility does this still leave parties within agreements? I mean, I've just moved, and because the market at the moment, you know, the rentee, the tenant, is holding a lot more cards than maybe they were 4 or 5 years ago. There was negotiation about notice periods. There was negotiation about how much rent I would forfeit if I broke the lease early. And there's a lot more to-ing and fro-ing, I think, than there was a while ago. Can you still do that with these rules?
Yes, you can. I think this provides you with a minimum framework, but it's still more than used to exist in the IFC. And so I see this along the same theme as what you're saying, as protective of the tenant by capping security deposits, by talking about termination and things of that nature. So the flexibility continues. Of course, the market always determines the power of landlords and or tenants.
Is there anything in this law that we could possibly see migrated to the onshore market? I mean, we've been talking already this morning about the new pension scheme that's starting up in DIFC, and Nadia, the recruitment agency we've just had in their report, that potentially they think it could go to other free zones and then to onshore to become the norm. Could we see things like deposits going into an escrow account, for example, which we already obviously see in the property sales market? Could we see that for rental possibly going wider in Dubai?
Well, I'm sure. Interestingly, I was thinking about exactly the same thing this morning. I think exactly the Dubai Land Department will be looking at that scheme and thinking that that is of interest, because it gives more assurance to the landlords and tenants, and also reduces disputes to a great extent.
No more niggling to get your deposit back at the end of your tenancy.
Exactly. As you know, as you may know, onshore, there have been some instances where landlords have kept security deposits, or so tenants allege. And so this does away with that issue.
Interesting stuff. Shahram Safi, who is a partner at Afridi & Engel Legal Consultants, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.